Let's turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. We read down in verse 30. It says, "Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." Now we've been seeing how the high priest and his garments picture Christ. And today we're looking at the Urim and Thummim, or Urim and Thummim. These things are kind of mysterious. Nobody really knows what they look like. We're not told in Scripture. And this is only mentioned 5 times in Scripture, this being one of them. But we do see here that they were put in the breastplate of judgment along with the 12 names of the children of Israel. And then we see that they were upon the high priest's heart. That tells us that what the Urim and Thummim were, that's what Christ's heart is. And then we see here that Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. It was by Urim and Thummim that the high priest went in to God and represented the children of Israel to God so that he was received. And he got judgment from God. He got discernment and direction from God to give to the children of Israel. Now, Urim means perfections. Urim means lights. And Thummim means perfections. Christ is, in his heart, the light and the perfection of his people. And it's only by Christ that he goes into God in the holy place and he bears the judgment, the verdict on his heart. He's the verdict before God so that God accepts him and accepts us in him, his people. And then he is the one who gets direction and discernment from God and gives to his people. Now, look over at Numbers 27. I'll show you an example of this. In Numbers 27, Joshua, who's leading the people, he was required to follow the direction of God's priests. And God's priests sought counsel from God by Urim. Look here in Numbers 27:21. "And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest." Joshua had to go to Eleazar the priest, "who shall ask counsel for him." Eleazar the priest went in to the Lord and asked counsel for him after the judgment of Urim. That means lights. And it may be that he doesn't say Thummim here because perfection was not accomplished by the Levitical priesthood. So he went in to get discernment by Urim, which is the lights. And it says, "And at his word, at the word of the priest, shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." So whatever the priest received from God, that's what he gave to Joshua. And at his word, they went out and came in. They did whatever they did at the high priest's word. Now Christ is our high priest with whom is Urim and Thummim, lights and perfections. I want to show you that as my first point, that he is the lights and perfections of his people. And then I want to show you that it's by Christ bearing judgment for his people upon his heart that we're directed. We're received and directed in this life. Now, first, I want to show you Christ is Urim and Thummim. He's lights and perfections for his people. And then secondly, I'll show you that it's by him bearing our judgment, our verdict, in God's presence that God receives us, and then God sends us direction from Christ. Now, first of all, Christ is the true Urim and Thummim. He's the lights and perfections of his people. Let me show you this clearly in the Scripture. Go to Deuteronomy 33. And look at verse 8. Of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. There's only one Holy One. We know that's Christ. Look over at Psalm 95. Who was it that was proven and strived against in the wilderness? Look at Psalm 95 and look at verse 7. He says, he's our God, we are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. You see, that's who was proven in the wilderness. It was Christ. He's the Holy One, and he's the one with whom is Urim and Thummim, lights and perfections. All light and perfection is found only in Christ, because it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So all fullness of light, all fullness of perfection is in him. Scripture says in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, let's look first at the Urim. Christ is the Urim. He's the light in whom all light is found and from whom all light comes. Christ is the light, and from him all light shines. Now you think about the old creation. God pictured this whenever he created the heavens and the earth. For 4 days, the sun was the only light that shined. For 4 days. Well, in the new creation, the only sun that gives light is the Son of Righteousness, Christ Jesus the Lord. What kind of light does he give? Well, natural light comes from him. All natural light comes from the light that we're born with, so that we can think and learn and what have you. That comes from Christ. John chapter 1, he's talking there about Christ being the Word and about Christ being the Creator. He says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light of men. Then at verse 9, he says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, you can't be saved by your natural light. It's nothing compared to what Adam had before the fall. So we can't be saved by our natural light, but this natural light Christ gives is enough to make us without excuse for not believing him. He said in Romans 1:20, the invisible things of God, the things we can't see about God, are clearly seen from the things that are made. We can see God by the things he's made and learn something about God from the things he's made. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. We know he's eternal because these things were created. That means he came before them. And we see his power and his Godhead in that he created all things and upholds all things so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse for not believing on God. But we need the light of grace come from Christ to make us see, to make us believe. We don't have any light in us by nature. We're blind. We can't see anything. We cannot understand the scriptures or anything. So Christ must give us light. When he gives you light, that's the first time you see your lost condition. Men won't, they will not stop defending themselves until God makes men to see their lost condition. And then you see that you're ruined. You're totally ruined. You're in sin. You're guilty. There's nothing you can do about it. And then Christ shines a light and makes us see the necessity of a Redeemer. We had to have somebody come and honor God's law on our behalf. We had to have somebody that could go between God and his people and bring us into unity together. It takes light to see this. And then once we behold the Redeemer, then we see that all fullness for our salvation is in him. All this light comes from Christ, every bit of it. The redeemed of the Lord are made children of light. That's what Scripture calls us. And it's by Christ giving us light. Remember, he said, I'm the light. Them that follow me, they will not walk in darkness. When he's made you to follow him, you're going to have light. You're going to understand some spiritual things by his light. The light to behold the perfections of God is seen in Christ. Everything about God is perfect. We're talking about Urim, which is lights, and Thummim, which is perfections. We see the lights and perfections of God in Christ the light. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, this one spoken of in the Scriptures, when you see him by faith, you're beholding God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's the fullness of the Godhead. We see the brightness of the Father's glory in Christ. He's the express image of his person. We see the wisdom of God in salvation by Christ and from Christ. How could God kill me and save me? How could he kill me and honor his law and save me, showing me mercy? He had to come, and he had to fulfill the law himself. And by him justifying me, God's both just and the justifier. That's wisdom. We see, when we behold Christ, we see in him the exceeding riches of God's mercy and his love. We see his grace in Christ. God sent his only begotten Son. The love of his heart, God sent him to die in place of his people. Just imagine trying to give your child for a bunch of rebels. The child you love, to give for a bunch of rebels. That's what God did. We see his grace in that. We see his love in that, his mercy in that. And we see in God how that he made that mercy and that truth meet in harmony. How he is just and the justifier. It's in Christ. All fullness is in Christ. Now, think about this. It's impossible to see the sun except by the light of the sun. At night, it's dark. We can't see the light of the sun. The sun's not shining. It's impossible to see the light of the sun except by the light of the sun. And it's impossible to see it by any other light. There's no other light that can make you see the sun. There's not another light that you can shine on that light and make you see it. It takes that light to see that light. And so that's Christ. Scripture says, in thy light we shall see light. All light is from him and all light is in him. In him is all the light and from him is all the light. It's only by him that we see. When he gives you light, that's when you see and understand the scriptures. You understand the Bible for the first time when he gives you some light. Before the end, this book's a closed book. It's just, I can remember trying to read it when I had no spiritual discernment, and most people pick it up, try to read it like you do any other book. They start at the beginning and try to read through it. And when they get to the begets, they quit. This book's not read like any other book. Some of the books are aligned in here that came in chronologically, they came before some other books that are put before them in the Bible. You know, it's not all in chronological order. So you don't read this book like you read any other book. David, he knew this. He knew that light has to come from Christ for him to be able to see. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word." I need God to open my eyes to see all the wondrous things of Christ out of his word. And then when we leave this world, the light of heaven will be Christ. He'll be the Urim of heaven. This world is full of sin, and that's why it causes us much darkness. In Scripture, it's compared to darkness, the world is. And because of sin, we have a lot of darkness. But when we get to glory, there won't be any sin. Just light. Just light. Listen to this. Revelation 21:23 says, "The city," talking about heavenly Jerusalem, "the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Christ is the light of glory. He's the light of heaven. Isaiah 60, verse 19, he speaks of a believer, when the day star has dawned in your heart, the Scripture calls it. It says, Isaiah 60, verse 19, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God shall be thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." That's going to be in heaven. Christ will be our everlasting light. Now, he's the Thummim as well. He's perfections. All perfections are in and by Christ. He's the perfection of God. He's divine perfection. Everything is in God. He's perfect, omnipotent power. That's what we're going to see in our second hour. We're going to see the lordship of Christ. He has perfect, omnipotent power. Power over everything and everybody. When a king's heart is turned and he decides to go against the counsel of his counselors, Scripture says Christ turned his heart. And he turns it whichever way he will. He's omnipotent power. Christ is perfect omniscience. That means he knows our heart. Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know my heart." He knows your heart right now, and he knows my heart. He knows the believer's heart. He knows the unbeliever's heart. That's a joy for a believer. That's terrifying for an unbeliever. For us, it's a joy because a lot of times you can't see what's in our heart by looking at what's in our outward actions. But God knows our heart. But for the unbeliever, that's terrifying because he knows every sinful thought. He knows that God's not in your thoughts. He knows that. Christ is perfect omnipresence. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." How can he be there and be at God's right hand at the same time? He's omnipresent God. He's perfect immutability. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His righteousness never changes. He never loves somebody today and hates them tomorrow. He has everlasting love for his people. So you see the perfections of God when you look at Christ. And then Christ is the perfection of all the gifts of grace that God gives us. You know, Scripture says it must be perfect to be accepted of God. We need perfection. We have to have perfection to stand in God's presence. Scripture says, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. All the captives that led us into captivity, Christ has taken captive now. Everything that led His people into captivity, sin, death, hell, the law, all those things, Christ has taken into captivity. And it says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. How are we going to be saved? We've got to have perfect justification from all our sin. We're going to find that in our works? No. Perfection of justification is in and by Christ Jesus. We need a perfection of redemption. We need to be completely, totally brought out from the law. We need to be brought out from our sinful flesh. And one day we need to be brought out from this world. Christ is perfect redemption. We need perfect holiness. We need perfect sanctification. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We're not going to be able to work that out. Christ is perfect sanctification to His people. He's made unto us sanctification. He sanctified Himself that He might sanctify His people. He's our sanctification. We need a perfection of preservation. I need to be perfectly preserved. I don't want God to just preserve me a little bit. I need Him to preserve me from the beginning to the end, to keep me believing on Him, keep me trusting Him. And Christ is perfect preservation. One day, Christ is going to be perfect glorification. We're not going to have anything to do with raising our dead bodies to be with Him in glory forever. How's that going to happen? Christ is the perfection of glorification. It's all in Him. So the Urim, the lights, and the Thummim, the perfections, is Christ. Everything is of Him and by Him. Now, secondly, you'll like this part, too. It says back in our text in verse 30, this Urim and Thummim was in the breastplate of judgment. And it says there, they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now, Christ carries our judgment in His heart. What His heart is the verdict for us, and it's the discernment for us. He's able to go into God's holy presence and God see Him as perfect and see us as perfect in Him. The verdict's been passed. We're justified. We're righteous. We're perfect. The sentence has been passed. And Christ stands there in God's presence, and He's that perfect verdict before God. But not only that, He gets direction from God and gives it to His people. Teaches us what to do in everything you do. He's teaching His people what to do. He attained eternal redemption with His own blood, justifying us from all sin. And then He entered in and He took possession of heaven. Scripture says He's the forerunner that has for us entered. And He's a witness to us that we're going to enter. He went in before us, the forerunner, to let us know we're going to enter there too one day. But He stands there in the presence of God as the final verdict for His people, bearing the judgment for His people. By His blood, by His wounded hands, by His wounded side and feet, He is, by His blood, He is the perfection that God receives and accepts. And so God receives His people in Him. And then, brethren, God gives you discernment from Christ. He bears the judgment of discernment, bringing us direction continually. At the beginning, we saw there in Numbers 27, it said, By Urim God gave direction to his people through the high priest. He told Joshua, you stand before Eleazar the priest. What do we do when we're praying? We're standing before Jesus Christ, the high priest. We're calling on him. That's why we pray in his name. We're not just tacking on a religious phrase when we say that we pray in his name. We're coming to God by him. We stand before Christ, the high priest. And it says, and he shall ask counsel for you after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. He goes into the Lord and intercedes for his people and asks counsel of God. And at his word, he's able to move the heart. He's able to cause you to, you don't hear an audible voice. You hear him in the heart through the preaching of the gospel and in your conscience. You hear the Lord speak. And at his word, you go in and come out. You go here or there or wherever he would have you to go. You do it at his word. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Don't do anything till you have a word from Christ on what you should do. Because he's the one who gives direction. He does it. Only the priest could go in and ask counsel in the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the holy place. That's why we don't call this room a sanctuary. Sanctuary is the holy place. Only Christ, who is God, could go in to God's presence in the holiest of holies and seek counsel for his people. We can't go in there without Christ. Only Christ can enter in there and be received. And then God's direction and his blessing was sought and given by Urim and Thummim, by the lights and perfections. The high priest has the judgment on his heart, and it was only by the judgment of the verdict, the judgment of his discernment, that this counsel was given. We don't have that by nature. That's why we can't go in and ask counsel of God apart from Christ. And then another thing to notice is this, counsel was sought for and given to the children of Israel only. Christ is at God's right hand interceding only for God's elect. That's who the true children of Israel are. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles, but they're all those God chose from before the foundation of the world by free grace. That's who Christ is interceding for, his elect. And the one last thing we see is this. If Joshua was going to get this counsel, get this direction, and be represented perfectly before God, he had to come and stand before the priest. That's where he had to come to. Now, you have to come. If you want to be received of God, you have to come and stand, bow down before Christ Jesus, the great high priest. There's no acceptance with God any other way. No other way. If you want direction, if you want to know direction as a believer, you have to come to Christ. Seek God's counsel through Christ Jesus, the high priest. There's no other way. There's no other way. And once you've believed on him, once you trust Christ by his grace, you trust Christ to lead you and direct you the entire way in everything. In everything. If you have the counsel and the heart and realize that you have the desire and the willingness and the understanding so that you see, I need Christ and I'm going to go to Christ. If you have that, you know who gave you that counsel? Christ did. He gave you that light. If you come to him and you cast all your care on him and you have peace in your heart, peace in believing, your conscience is purged from dead works, so you know now you don't have to keep doing those dead works to be accepted of God. You are accepted of God. If you come to Christ and find that out, it's going to be because Christ gave you that understanding. He's the light. And from him comes all light. And so every bit of direction that we seek, all the days of faith, we seek it through Christ Jesus, our high priest. Direction in spiritual and eternal matters, we get it from Christ. Direction from temporal, earthly matters, we get it from Christ. Direction for family matters, we get it from Christ. Christ is our Urim and our Thummim. All right, brethren, let's take a short break.